What's up? Welcome to episode 359 of the PS4 Blackcast. I am JCM with this week. It's Izzy.
Yo.
MSI is not going to be here today. She got pulled in some other stuff. You know, unfortunately, she couldn't do the, well, I got a shelter in place, social distancing. I don't want to help you guys do this stuff. But
she's just breaking rules.
Yeah, whatever they were doing yesterday, they didn't finish. They got to do it. But that'll be all right. It's going to be not much happened this week. Like I said, we had a new release. And then we had, of course, the PlayStation deals for the April that were going on are going to end on Monday or Tuesday. On Tuesday, yeah, because today's the 26th. But the new release we did get was Predator Hunting Grounds from Illphonic. That came out on Friday. No reviews out for it yet because obviously it's an online game. It's by the team that did that, Friday the 13th? That's Jason?
Yeah.
Which a lot of people liked, but, you know, it was kind of jank. And then they got a cease and desist or whatever. They weren't allowed to make it anymore. So they stopped. But now they did this Predator one.
Why they stopped making it? They got the cease and desist?
It wasn't necessarily a cease and desist, I believe. But it was essentially that. It was like, no, you guys can't do this anymore. Like, that was the issue.
There was something, but I thought that, I thought they had an agreement.
Yeah, they had an agreement, and then something happened where it changed, and they couldn't do it anymore. I don't know if it was the rights bounced on the back end to whoever owned the IP, went from whoever they made the deal with to someone else. Like, I don't know I forget what caused it, but that was a issue they had. And they said, we would love to keep supporting this game if we could, but because we can't do any, I think it was they can still update the game, but they can't do certain things. And they're like, well, because we can't expand, it's like, this is
what's
kind
the
of
point?
Where, yeah, this is, it's kind of, this is where it's at. And they started working on with Sony on a Predator Hunting Grounds, which is a PlayStation exclusive for right now. It's only $40. They have a bundle version. I don't know what comes in the bundle version. It's the digital deluxe. Don't know what else it has, but that's the regular $60. I mean, it looks fun and it looks good. It looks like it plays well, but it is 30 FPS, which would make the first person perspective of the soldiers kind of, I mean, you could probably do it cause it's only 4v1. It's not, a Battlefield or a Call of Duty where you need that 60 or close to 60 you can get. But I haven't played. I don't know if I'll pick it up. I didn't play the other one. I watched some people play it, and it seems like, hopefully this one does well. I mean, it's awesome. They got the music in it. It's got their Predator music, which is really cool. It's always super iconic. When you hear it. But yeah, that is out. Wastelanders for Fallout 76 also came out. That was this week.
Humans are added for the first time in 2 years. How long has it been?
I forget when it came out, but the one thing that did kind of bug me about that was people were oh, they're finally adding in humans to, yada yada, because everybody's been complaining there's no humans. But from a story perspective, it makes sense within the world, which is always the one thing that kind of bugged me, because then the people who never played it because it was jank at launch just assume that, they're just doing this because this is what people want. It's they did say it was part of the roadmap, and again, in the storyline of Fallout 76, it makes sense why there's no people, and then why they come back.
I think that's the entire problem, though, with Fallout 76, is the storyline was built not to be an interesting storyline necessarily, but to support, the idea of an MMO. It wasn't that... It feels like they went the wrong direction, where they had the idea of an MMO first and built a story around that, instead of a story that just happened to be good for an MMO. Because the lack of humans or NPCs in an MMO is weird.
Well, that's the thing. There are NPCs. There's not all of them are human. Some of them are robots, of course. But they are there. And it had it been this is our roadmap, Fallout 76 launches, and then 4 months we have the, 4 or 6 months we have the Wastelanders expansion, which introduces human NPCs, but they don't say why they're waiting. That way, in 6 months, people have time to play the story, as the Vault Dwellers, and then they can be this kind of makes sense. Now, you still have a lot of content you can do without the humans. You can still trade, do all that stuff. There's NPCs you can buy from. You can interact with, these AIs and stuff like that. But now it's like, okay, now that you've completed, the humans come back. Because basically the whole story is that there's this, oh man, I'm going to blank on it now because I forget what the, what they call the ghouls that are infected. Because they're not quite ghouls, but they're like, they have this unique radiation poisoning that affects them. Man, I could, it's like a blight or something. I forget what it is. But essentially, it's like all the humans that were there got infected by this. So the survivors left Virginia. And you find out that this whole thing that there was, you know, spoilers for Fallout 76. Not that it matters, I guess, because I don't know how many new players are going to get. But as you go around...
You're safe.
I mean, I was going to complain right in, like, oh, you know what? I was planning to start a new game when Wastelanders came out. But as you go through, you find out that there was these, there's this special mineral in West Virginia that they had been mining underground. And I forget what it's called. I'm just going to call it Magisite, even though obviously it's not Magisite. But it was like this special mineral. They started mining it, and they were using it for testing, like all these scientists were. And then they found out, like, it has these very high radioactive properties. And the caverns they were in, like, had these bats. And basically, long story short, through the testing they're doing, as well as with the nuclear testing they were doing with these minerals, they caused these mutations in these bats in these caves. That's where those giant bat monsters come from in Fallout 76. And essentially, those guys caused this blight mutation to come out and just wipe out the humans and turn them into the these red glowy ghouls you see throughout the game, and they're the source of it. So as you go through, you know, you, this one of the storylines, you learn that this happened, and then the main, you know, boss you fight is essentially the queen of these bats that's still, you know, kicking them out. So in the bottom right corner of the map is like where the nuclear tests were happening with this mineral, and when you go down there, there's these fissures, and essentially the way you do it is you launch a nuke into that area, which spawns the queen, and then a bunch of players have to go and take her down. And then, so that's basically, you kill her, and that's the story. It's like you've stopped her, you know, she's dead essentially. Now this blight won't spread anymore, so now Wastelanders is, which I'm sure they would have had come way sooner if Fallout 76 launched in a much better state. Now it's like, because you fixed the problem, now the people who fled West Virginia are coming back because you took care of the issue.
I thought the whole point of the original game, though, was that your vault was the very first one to open.
Yeah, so it's like you open, it's...
Oh, and there's no humans, and then other vaults are opening elsewhere during this time?
No, there's no other vaults to open. They did introduce some vaults later on. I think Vault 80-something. That's where they, when they introduced that, the Battle Royale mode, that was one of the vaults. And they did another one as well, but I forget what it was. Like, there was stories behind those vaults, but I that was, like, after I had stopped playing, like, after I finished the game. They did that, but, no, the whole idea was, like, it was Reclamation Day, I think is what they call it.
The way you describe it, it's just kind of makes me laugh because you're like, oh yeah, the Fallout game launched with no NPCs and no vaults. You may, like, I know you enjoyed it. I think I remember you enjoying it. You just make it sound like such a bad Fallout game.
Well, it had NPCs, and I never, the vault portions of Fallout games are never my favorite because they're always the same. The look, like the layout's the same. They look the same. Like in Fallout 3, at least it was a little better than Fallout 4. But I was never one for like, oh, I can't wait to go into these narrow corridors and just see what happens.
It was never the narrow corridors. It was always what is the fucked up thing that was going on in this vault.
Yeah, I just.
And there were some really good ones like haunted vaults and shit like that, where, or like the, what was it, the all woman vault and the all man vault or stuff. It was, I always enjoyed them personally just because you could read about the weird shit that went on. And then there was always usually interesting, like, weapons.
Yeah, I never really got into that part of, like, what Vault-Tec was doing with their isolated testing and the entire Gary Vault. Like I said, they were okay, but because the structures of the vaults are basically all the same, it just felt like I was going into the same place. Different, maybe... This one had rad roaches, this one had ghouls, this one had one dude that got cloned a million times. You know, had this, like, sure, there's... I didn't really read the terminals, like, I was like, okay, whatever, you know, you're doing this, get the gun, okay. But I didn't care necessarily to go into them. I liked exploring the open world and seeing all the other points of interest and all that stuff. So yeah, so the idea was that you're the first one to open, so there's no other vaults to find the base game. But there are, again, there are NPCs that just aren't human NPCs. There's like this AI robot you find who's operating this broadcast station, and you help her out, and she's, it's basically like, it might as well be a human. It's just a, her, this person's, I forget what the story was. It was like, she used to be a raider, and they uploaded her into this robot. And then they're like, oh, here you go. So there are,
you know, as those things happen,
there are just raider NPCs, I believe.
Which by itself, I don't know. Fallout 76, I still think was, they should have just made it a straight up Fallout game, and it would have made more money.
I guess I never got that the lack of human NPCs making it back, because there still are NPCs, but again, the Wastelanders is out, so people can play that. I think I've thought about going back, because I still have it. I put a lot of hours into Fallout, but I got other stuff to play right now. but yeah, that's it for basically the new releases. As far as news goes, we talked, I think, last week about FF14's 5.3 update with Zaya. I thought 5.3 already came out, unless it was like a 5.2 something. But originally 5.3 was supposedly supposed to launch in mid-June, but progress on development was a bit beyond 70%. Yoshida-san said and was planning to do his usual checks on the content in mid-April, but at the time it was decided to shift the whole team to teleworking. So it looks like there is a delay because of the work at home situation, because I'm reading this article from Twinfinite. Basically seeing the voice actors from all over the world made an effort to record their lines for the main story quest of update 5.3, so all the voice data is already ready, and developers are working hard to get everything going. But apparently some of these updates will bring tons of new content, features, and flying mounts in A Realm Reborn areas. Because I know when flying mounts are introduced in 14, they were only in, like, the expansion that they came out in. It's like, only those zones had flying mounts. And then slowly they would be like, okay, now you can go into this expansion's areas with flying mounts. Okay, now you can go to this one. Like, it was always slowly rolling out for, I don't know why, I guess flying mounts would break the game or something, who knows. But you can look forward to that. Let's see here. We also, if you like FF7 Remake, they're getting more play arts, Kai figures for Sephiroth, Reno, and Rude. You can check those out. Each cost about $113. They're like the cheap versions of those, that other company that makes like super expensive statues. And the player ones are kind of cool, because at least you can shift them in different positions. The one thing that always kind of bugs me about the play art ones is that they give you like multiple, you know, hand attachments and stuff like that. But when the figures are in, like, looking at these figures, I'm looking at like Reno, and when he's standing up and his like arms are not quite straight, but they're pretty straight, like, you can't really see the, you know, the seams where the figure's bendable. But then there's a position where he's in like a, he's got his leg up like he's going to go for a kick. So his leg is bent. So obviously you can see the, you know, where the plastic pivots. And I always thought like, but you can see like the kneecap part of it as well, because obviously his leg's closed, he has a kneecap. And I always thought like, I kind of wish they'd give you like a little, you know, caps or something that you can kind of set on there to cover up that visible joint. You know what I mean?
For like $300, that would kind of make sense.
Well, if they were more expensive, yeah, I guess they would charge them, but they're only $112.
Still a lot for a figure like that. I think it's reasonable to ask for something like that.
Yeah. But, even in the stand position, it's kind of cool. Like, you know, and Sephiroth has some pretty cool poses you can put him in. But I'm curious, like, if they limit the range that you, because I'm not super familiar with the play arts. These figures, but I'm guessing maybe they'd limit the full range. Like, you can only bend them to put them in the positions, like these predetermined positions they show on the webpage. But yeah, they're pretty cool. I mean, I guess if you're collectors of those kind of things, You're looking forward to that. Let's see if there's a release date. The first release will be Reno in December. Wait, what? I think this is a typo, because they put December 2002.
They were just going off the original Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, they're doing play art figures 5 years later. They mean 2020, because then Rude comes out in January 2021, and Sephiroth will come out in February 2021. So they're doing like this weird stagger release, I guess.
Why is Sephiroth the last one?
I don't know. It's probably like a, you know, you make them, you pre-order them, you make them in a batch, and you're done. The next ones you make them, do them in a batch. And like, I don't know why. I guess that's, maybe it's like if
why
you're...
Why would you do Sephiroth last instead of like first?
I don't know, hype. Like people can see instead of doing like the main one, and then people are like, oh, I don't really care about Rude and Reno, but now it's like, I gotta wait for Sephiroth. Well, you know what, I'll go ahead and get. And there's a lot of original...
It's a secret brilliant move.
A lot of the original FF fans like the Turks a lot, so I can see Reno and Rude moving pretty easily.
Oh, is that like a big thing?
Yeah, Reno, I mean, that's why he's got that like anime hair thing going on. Like a lot of people love the Turks in the original game. But even though they drop a plate.
They do drop a plate.
Yeah, they do.
But they felt like they had to, because if they didn't, someone else would.
That's right. Which, they got
horrible logic, but sure.
Yeah, I mean, unless you cut the head off the snake, it's like, what are you gonna do? They're like David Koresh. But then we also got a release date for Telling Lies on consoles, which will be coming out on April 28th, which is Tuesday. This is of course by Annapurna Interactive. They did Her Story, which I liked a lot. I played that in Steam. I've been meaning to pick this one up on Steam, because it's been going on I have on my wish list, and the time, hey, game on your wish list is on sale. I just hadn't picked it up yet, but now that it's coming to consoles, maybe I'll pick it up on PS4. But yeah, that'll be again on the 28th. So if you liked Her Story, or did Her Story ever come to console? I can't remember. I don't know if it did or not, but
I watched it like once on Twitch, thought it was cool, but I never actually played it myself.
Yeah, that was fun. Like, man, that'd be a weird game to watch, because the detective part, not the detective part, like the putting pieces together was like the best part of the game. Like, that'd be weird to experience it
without. I mean, it wasn't the type of game I would ever want to purchase. Like, I thought it was good. It's not my type of game. Mm-hmm. So I watched it on Twitch. I enjoyed it. I thought it was like a really interesting game. I think what they did is really cool. Just not really, you know, for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I remember looking at, because it was only like 2 hours, I think, the game, 2.5 hours. If you search the right terms, obviously. But yeah, just looking at my scribble notes I had when I was done, I was like, that was like kind of like the meme that was going on. Everybody showing their notes from when they were done playing. It was just really fun. Like the paths they'd follow, like from this word to this word to this word, just making all these discoveries. But
did they ever like spoilers for Her Story? But now I'm thinking of it. The ending was like kind of ambiguous. Did they ever actually reveal like a definitive what happened?
I don't remember. It's been a while since the game came out, and I only played it the one time, and then I was done. I don't know if they ever did a sort of definitive, here's the story. I think they kind of would have left it up. Like, it's one of those games, and developers would like, they wouldn't do that. But who knows? yeah, moving on to FF7. Sales figures. It apparently sold 3.5 million copies in 3 days. Although the way they word it, they say, we're proud to announce we shipped and digitally sold over 3.5 million copies. So it sounds like they're combining both their digital sales and shipped to retailer copies. So I'm like,
which might mean it's a significantly lower number of actually sold, but
but I mean, if you're doing it, like if it was like in a month, I'd be like, yeah, okay, but it's like in 3 days. Like, I mean, and typically you ship for the demand, and I can't imagine they didn't sell those physical copies, unless the place, like, you know, didn't open because of the COVID situation. But that's still a lot. But it didn't make me wonder, like, what it's going to look like in a month, and if Square is going to be happy with it, because that number made me think back to Tomb Raider when that launched originally, and how that game sold 3.4 in its first month, but Square was unhappy with its sales. And of course, eventually, obviously, Tomb Raider went back to the dev, the rights for it.
Well, I remember, it's been so long, but like, we talked about this before, there was some dev that was happy that they sold like 5 million units in a lifetime, and that was like phenomenal. And then I think it might have been Square or something that was expecting to sell 10 million units, and they were pissed off that they like only sold 6 million. So, yeah, I don't know. If Final Fantasy VII doesn't hit like at least 5 million, I'm sure it'll hit 5 million, but if it doesn't hit like maybe 10 million or something, I wouldn't be surprised if they're pissed off about it, because this is like the game for Square Enix. Like, if they can't hit 10 million units on Final Fantasy VII Remake, I don't know what game they could hit it on.
Yeah, because they they expected Tomb Raider to sell 6 million, and they sold, you know, 3.4, which the dev was very happy about, but of course Square was initially, and I don't know what the lifetime sales of the original Tomb Raider were, but, and there was another game too, I think it was, at this time there was another game that they were disappointed in, but I forget what those, that game was. I'd have to go back and look at the combo article, because this was back in 2013, but, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, those numbers in 3 days are good, we'll see what it is in a month, but yeah, because it's not, you're not just producing, you know, another studio, another dev's game. It's like, it's your own now. Like, you own this. So it's like definitely much more.
It's your own, and it's like the most, this is like a bold statement because I never played the original Final Fantasy, but it's probably one of the like most culturally significant Final Fantasies, or like one of the loudest ones.
Definitely the loudest.
Yeah, not to say like it's the best or the worst or anything like that in terms of quality, right, but like culturally very important, yeah, for Square. So if you can't pump out like a shit ton of sales on maybe your most important game you've released and the one that like fans have been clamoring for, I don't know, it might just indicate like, okay, you need to massively rethink like everything you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what the final numbers are. Like, obviously, they had said that they had work going on for the next installment of Final Fantasy. I think there was a while ago. Either the producer or director, someone said that. Like, they were already working on it. You know, it'll be interesting, like, how quickly that turnaround will be. I'd imagine it'd probably be, like, 2, maybe 3 years. Definitely not as long as this one, because they had the initial developer who they scrapped their work and then redid it on their
end. Has to be 1 to 2 years, honestly. I don't think they can wait 3 years for the next entry in the series.
Yeah, I wonder what...
It's episodic. Like, 3 years the next entry in the series means before you get the entire game, you might be looking at, like, 6 to 9 years. That'd be crazy.
Well, let's see. Final Fantasy 13 came out in 2009. 13-2 came out in 2011. And Lightning Returns came out in 2013. So those are all 2 years apart. So you figure...
This one, I think they said they'd started the second episodes while they were working on this.
Right. They got a ways going. Yeah, and so I imagine, like I said, because of the initial... Like, again, the other developer, who I'm blanking on their name, them doing a bunch of work, and then eventually getting scrapped and taken internal, like, who, like, I'm sure that could have been, like, maybe, I forget what the timeline was, but maybe could have been 2 years of work, if that, from the other team, and they scrapped it and they take over. But, yeah, I could see, yeah, 2 years, I could see it. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Now they have I guess I could see maybe longer, because who knows how much of they're going to, like, jump on this year, like, I don't know what the Japanese studio culture is for after you ship a game. Like, how long do you take a break before you work on the next one, like, in full force? So it'll be interesting to see if, depending on how long the work at home situation is going to last, obviously that'll have some impact on how quickly they can initially start everything. You know, do productive meetings all the time.
right now everyone wanted to get back immediately.
Yeah, you definitely want to take a break. Yeah, and then the last bit of news is actually something I found out last night at like 12. You know, I was at midnight. I was like, I should go to bed, but I was browsing our all of Reddit, and I don't subscribe to the Doom subreddit, but for some reason, I guess I was deep enough into the front page of our all that a Doom post made it. Like, the algorithm for the front page never makes sense to me. It's kind of like, hey, here's the top one from this sub, and then it's like, it's never like an organization of most popular. It's just random subs, like top posts from them put on the front of our all. But randomly, the Doom sub popped up, and I saw this like meme for Mick Gordon, making Thanos saying, "Fine, I'll do it myself." I was like, "What is this?" And so I started digging through the Doom subreddit, and then which led me on this paper trail where I guess the Doom Eternal OST came out last week for the collector's edition people, and it's like 54 songs, I think, or something like that. Like it's a, I think, I don't know, I'd have to look it up, but it's like a ton of songs. Like the original Doom 2016 soundtrack, I think, was only 15 songs or something. Let's say Doom Eternal OST and see what YouTube, because some people put it on YouTube. Maybe there's a playlist. Yeah, 59. 4 days ago, someone uploaded it. But yeah, so someone noticed that they post on Twitter, they're like, they were listening to some of the songs and they didn't sound good, like compression wise and everything and mixing. And they looked at the, so in Eternal, they used the BFG Division song like once. So it shows up again on the soundtrack. And he looked at the waveforms of the Doom 2016 and compared it to the waveforms of the Doom Eternal, and you can clearly see that they're compressed. Like, that's why it sounds bad. And then he tweeted saying, like, I don't know why Mick would do this, Mick Gordon being the composer, of course. And then he replies saying he didn't do any of it. He only did a couple of the songs, like someone else did it. He would never do that. So then they started looking into it, and, like, yeah, it turns out, like, Mick Gordon only did, like, for the OST, because obviously the songs in the game are made to be reactive to the player. So if you're going to make a full soundtrack version of it, you kind of have to tweak it, like, okay, well, how long is this segment going to be? How long is this segment going to be? You know, because obviously in real life, you're not running around killing demons, so it's not going to play off that. So it works well in game, but that can't work in a soundtrack. So he would, in 2016's version, he would mix it himself. And then that would be the soundtrack. He only did like 12 songs of the 59 that got released. Someone else on id's, you know, some sound guy did it. So like the fans are just totally upset that they didn't let Mick actually do all the songs, and they released it way late. Cause he even said in a stream they did a while ago, like how it would take a while to get all this done. And even Bethesda had said the OST would not release with the game at launch, and now we know why, because they were having someone else on their end do the mixing.
Do it.
But yeah, he, like, someone asked him on the back end, like, through some, you know, emails, back channels, like, to clarify, you know, to ask him questions. He's saying, like, you know, I love what I do, I'm very passionate about it, so I don't know why it happened like this. And there was a comment, like, how he wasn't sure if he was going to work with Bethesda anymore and any future titles. But again, that was in some private correspondence between someone inquiring with him. I don't know. It wasn't just like off the books, but, you know.
It doesn't seem like there's any benefit to not having him just do it himself.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like a time thing. Like, they only wanted him to do like specific major songs on the OST and then just have someone else do it. Like, yeah, I'm curious, like, it, or if it was, because who knows if it was id's decision or if Bethesda's, or, like, who made this choice? Like, obviously, you let him do all of 2016. Why not? Now, granted, 59 tracks is a little ridiculous. Like, you don't need an OST that's 59. I didn't even notice that. Like, I have to go through and listen. Like, there's really 59 unique tracks in Doom Eternal?
Probably weird themes and variation that just really didn't need to be in the game.
I guess, yeah. But, yeah, there's, like, and he even said, like, at one point, I think one of the things too was that he said he was, because he was disappointed, he might work and finish on his own in his own time and get his version of out at some point. Of course,
can't be legal.
Well, yeah, who knows? I mean, if he, who knows what their contract is like? If he did the music, does he own it? But maybe he can't sell it. Maybe he can just put it there for free. Who knows what? But everyone's basically calling for the Mick Gordon cut or the Mick Gordon mix, because the fans want his versions of the songs, which makes total sense. So I don't know what the heck's going on with that. But I guess if you're going to listen to the OST once it releases later for non-collector's editions folks, maybe just listen to the songs that he said. Like, he even lists out which ones he did. And people went through and checked all the waveforms. And you can clearly see, like, the ones that he said he did. Yeah, like, the waveforms are definitely, you know, there. And the ones that are compressed, like, you can just see the compression.
Are the waveforms, not the waveforms, are the songs that he did actually better, though? Like, is the argument just over the quality? Or was the argument not the quality of, like, artistry, but the actual quality of the waveforms? Or was the argument over that, like, the songs themselves were just, like, the mixes he didn't do?
It's the quality is the main one. You know, it's like, wow, these don't sound that good. And then I don't know if it's necessarily the mix of them. Like, not the mix, but the composition of, like,
that's the word I was looking for.
I don't know. I didn't necessarily see that pop up. It was mainly that the sound quality, like, maybe if the audio person at id didn't compress it as much but still had that same composition and arrangement, like, maybe that would be fine. It just doesn't sound good because it someone else did it. Like, I don't know what that is. Maybe he exported it wrong, who knows, but and no one caught it.
Oh man, if that was the reasoning, that'd be pretty funny.
But again, why have Mick only do like a portion of a fifth of the soundtrack? It's like, it's so weird.
I mean, usually with these things, it's almost always money. So that'd be my first guess, is somehow it's related to money.
I guess. Yeah, who knows? I mean, maybe there's enough. But like everybody on the Twitter, like when I went to the Doom Twitter and they're like, hey, here's the Eternal soundtrack's out for the collector's edition. And everybody's like, way to screw over Mick Gordon, you know, this and that. And blah, blah. Like, I'm going to wait for the Mick Gordon cut and this, but. Yeah, which is disappointing because especially, like, if you don't have a good, like, if you listen to them on, like, earbuds, you won't notice. But if you listen to music like that on any good sound system or in your car, if you have a good sound system in there, like, you can always tell, like, when something's just not good. But yeah, we'll see what happens there. I just thought that was really, because that was, like, something I was totally unaware of, and just randomly found it last night, and I ended up, like, looking up, like, 30 minutes, go to bed close to 1 o'clock. I'm like, ugh. But yeah, it was weird stuff. But yeah, that's it for the news. We can go ahead and jump into what we've been playing. So what have you been playing since you, I know you went back and you've been trying to platinum Remake, right?
I went back through Remake and I beat it all on hard mode again. The only trophy I have left is the bridal dress one, which is super easy. I just don't really feel like getting it yet.
Right.
I have to replay chapters I already did, so it's not really tricky. But yeah, I went through, played through hard mode, beat it on hard mode, did the extra bosses and all of that stuff, which I generally enjoyed. I thought that hard mode should have just been the definitive mode. I think we kind of discussed this in Discord, but one of the weird things about hard mode is like the difference of content, where I don't understand why it wasn't just, like, the same content. And, like, the need to replay hard mode specific stuff just doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand why it wasn't the same content in both modes, or why there really was a difficulty slider at all. Because the combat in hard was better, and they could have easily done something between normal and hard, where, like, frankly, everyone could have done it. The only reason the game might have been difficult for people is because you can't really grind until you hit certain points. So you can't, like, over-level like you would in a traditional RPG. Anyway, so, yeah, I went through hard mode again. Enjoyed it more than normal. Probably going to take a break, and I'll play Final Fantasy, the original one, eventually.
and I'll get the platinum for a remake eventually. But I switched over to Control, which I'm still very early on in the game. I'm only like chapter 5 or 6, something like that. And I've been enjoying Control a lot. I love the mood in it. I love the kind of haunted aspect of it. It reminds me a lot of The Lost Room, which I think I mentioned when it originally came out. I just hadn't played. I've had some issues with, like, every time I exit a menu, there's, like, massive lag spikes that seem to fix themselves, but that's really the only problem I've had so far with the game. I'm not really far enough in aside from, or to really form an opinion aside from just, like, the mood is really creepy and I love it.
Do you have a pro?
I do not.
Okay. Yeah, I think that was a... Because I remember, I thought they patched that out, but yeah, anytime you open up the mat, you know, like, there'd be that quick lag spike, like, frame drop, and...
Oh, yeah, and it's massive. We're talking, like, 1 frame a second or something.
Yeah, I never had it that bad, and there was, like, I think... I don't remember having it, like, actually during gameplay, but I thought they patched that and fixed that map issue, but maybe they... maybe they didn't, or if they did, because you're on a base PS4, not a pro, maybe that's the reason. I think Digital Foundry did a follow-up when they did a patch to it a few days after launch. But yeah, I know the DLC came out for that. I don't know if that came out this week, or I think it was last week. I just haven't played it yet. I'll probably get to it. I'll probably wait till all the DLC is out. I'm not going to do one and then wait and do the other one. But yeah, I had fun with Control. I liked it.
Yeah, awesome. I kind of spoiled myself since I watched parts of it on Twitch, but I didn't like watch the whole game, so I still don't really have any idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Some parts of it are odd, like the camera is a bit wonky, and there's like a weird acceleration when you're turning that I don't really love. But like the mood and the nature of the game itself is phenomenal. They nailed that.
Yeah. Real quick, another game I forgot that came out was Trials of Mana, the, I guess, updated version, like a light remake version, HD version, came out. That's on the PSN. I think it's been reviewing okay. Like, it's, people have, like, the music's good, it's there, but it still got the problems that the original had. But I guess if you're a Trials of Mana fan, you can play that. But yeah, I liked Control. There's a lot of really fun, memorable moments in that, in the game, certain objects of power that I remember that were one that was pretty creepy. I was like, oh man, this is a messed up object of power. There was another one that was pretty fun that like messes with you at some point. I like that a lot. But yeah, there's a...
I thought the intro of the game was ridiculously cool. Like you walk in and when you talk to the janitor, you go down a hall and then he points you out a different door and you exit the door and it's the same area where you came in. So it was the first instance of like the building moves. And I definitely went back and I'm like, wait a second, that doesn't line up with the map. So I like traced back the route I took. And then of course, when you get to the dead end there, it's, or when you get to where you come in, it's just a dead end. There's no door or entry anymore. So like, there are really cool moments like that, that I've loved spotting in the game where, you round corners and stuff, and then the way you came in is now, like, just a completely different part of the building.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the fun stuff in the game. I can't really... Don't want to go too into it, but there are definitely some really creep... Not really creepy, but some creepy segments, too, because I was like, man, if this is a different type of game, like, this section would be really creepy.
Dude, the hiss, like, the background whispering is legitimately unnerving.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like that. I like that, especially with the headset. Reminded me a lot of like the whispering in Hellblade, even though that was way more, you know, in your face. But yeah, Control is a lot of fun. I definitely, like I said, I look forward to going back to it once all the DLC's out. I restarted. But I didn't. I had a save on the original FF7 for PS4. Where it was basically, I think after, it was like right after maybe the second reactor. No, it was right, yeah, it was after the second reactor because it was right when I was in the playground with Aerith, and we saw, no, we were in, sorry, Wall Market after we saw Tifa go by in the Chocobo carriage. so I picked up there and then played through, got through Midgar, went to the next sections, and now I'm, where am I? I'm at Gold Saucer. And that's kind of where I stopped, was at Gold Saucer. And then from there, I went and restarted, or went back to my playthrough that I re-rolled for Divinity. So I've been playing just Divinity Original Sin 2. I am close to the end of Act 2 right now. And basically just been playing that. I haven't played any Apex or Modern Warfare, Warzone at all in like forever, it feels like. And there's like in a whole event I kind of just skipped out on for Apex, and then another event that's going on, I think it starts on, maybe it starts on Tuesday, but the season 4 is going to end soon, so definitely I'll probably for sure come back if I'm still playing Divinity by season 5, which is going to be on May 12th, which is also my birthday. Man, taking a day off when I'm working from home is going to be weird.
So, welcome to life now.
I guess I just won't turn on my computer. But, yes. But, yeah, I'm really enjoying Divinity. The game's just so good. It's also a game, too, where, like, sometimes I have, like, a side quest, and it's not really, like, if it's just a simple one, sometimes I'll just look it up. I'll be like, but I just want to see, because I just want to do either clear it out without, like, I like figuring out the bigger ones, but there's, like, some small ones from, like, it's, the XP reward is nothing. There's no fight, nothing like that. So it's like solving the quest is like super easy. It's like, okay, what do I need for this real quick? Oh, I just need a piece of cheese and then drag the thing over here. Okay, that's easy. But yeah, I like the, like some of the puzzles are fun. Man, there was one that was a pain in the ass where it was like these ancient trees. And like in the lore in this game is like when elves, when they die, they turn into these trees, like their soul becomes this ancient tree. Really weird. but there's this one segment where it's like a challenge for elves. Like you come across this like pedestal or something, and it's like you hear a voice, and it's like, oh, you have to complete the challenge. So there's these four trees that are each a different season, and you have to activate the trees. And some of them are easy. One's like, oh, just it's the winter tree, so you make it rain, and then you freeze the water. And at the base of the tree, and that activates the tree. And there's one where it was like, oh, it's what was it? It was like spring, so it was about like rebirth. And that was kind of tough, but you needed to just put blood at the base of the tree. So I just walked my elf character over there, did the I'm totally blanking on the move.
Flesh sacrifice.
Yeah, there you go. And then get blood on the ground that activates the tree. Then I had two other ones that were pretty tough because I'd figure out, okay, what the hell do I need to do? But there was one just I could not figure it out because I didn't have the proper, like, all the pieces. Like, I had to make this, like, fiery smoke, which I didn't know how to do. And I was like, I gotta look this up. And I looked it up, it's like, oh, if you have this spell, just do this spell. I'm like, I don't have that spell. And it's like, oh, if you have these items, just do this. I'm like, I don't have those items. And then it's like, okay, or do this series of spells. So I tried, and so I like, I had to put down some water, and then I had to hit it with fire to make steam. So now I got the steam there. And then I'm supposed to contaminate the steam with poison and then light that poison on fire. And now that poison mist becomes fiery smoke, but it wouldn't work, and I couldn't figure out what was going on, so I don't know if that's bugged. But then eventually I like, okay, well, I could just create the scroll of the spell and did that, and then just use the spell and tree, and that worked. But it was like, I was so like stuck, like all the others were, the other two trees are easy, and the third one was kind of a pain, but I got it. I like had it. The other one I had to like electrify
smoke clouds. There's a massive difference in like complication.
Yeah, it's like, well, even the blood one was kind of like, because I thought like, oh, it's four elements. It's going to be ice. It's going to be fire, electricity, and then maybe, I don't know, something else. Like a power thing, like, but the blood, it ended up being blood. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But even the lightning one, like, that was kind of hard. Like, I just had to, that one was a little easier because it was fire and water to make the steam, and then just lightning to electrify that that steam, and that was simple. But yeah, man, that one with the other one, such a, that was a pain. I was like, oh, man, I gotta look this up. I don't know how to do it, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the game that's just real fun. And I had there's this one quest where I found this lamp, and then I couldn't remember if we found it, but I was like, okay, well, I don't want to do this quest right now because I know if I rub this lamp, it's going to start a quest. So I'm just going to keep this lamp on me.
Oh, we found that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just kept it on me for a while. And then, like, way later, much further in Act 2, I decided, no, I'm going to rub this lamp and get the genie pops out. And I'm like, end up fighting the genie. But then he aggroes, of course, everybody else in the area, like, which is what I expected. I'm like, that's good. Because then they could just kill him for me. But then, like, I guess I accidentally AoE'd some of the NPCs a few too many times, so then all the NPCs got aggroed on me. I was like, oh, damn it. But I did have a side quest that needed me to kill one of the people that was there anyway, so I'm like, well, I guess I could just let them fight the genie while I kill the guy I need to kill. Do two quests at one time. But that was fun. But, yeah, man, that game is so good. And it's kind of annoying because I'm like, I'm only level 15, which kind of 15, 16 is where you're going to be when you end Act 2, I guess. And I was looking at, like, okay, well, how are my character stats right now? Like, I kind of put them, like, I, you know, read the character builds, like, oh, you kind of want to do this as a focus and maybe balance these two, you know, Warfare and Hydrosophus, kind of a 2-to-1 situation, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of looked online, like, okay, well, how do my character stats look to where their characters, because typically on the guides on Fetch Your Life, they put like a level 16 character with all their stats. And I'm looking at him like, this dude's got 54 strength. Now it's blue, which means he's got strength from equipment as well. The stat icon and the number. But my character's only got 32. So I'm like, how the hell does he have 54 at 16 and I only have 32?
The unpatched, like, version of the game? Because I thought we went through that when we first started playing, that they patched it and the, like, definitive edition had less skill points or something. Or am I crazy?
Maybe.
I thought, like, that the game got rebalanced because when I initially started looking up guides, people had like 80 or 90 skills, and I think it caps at like 40 or something. I vaguely remember being extremely confused when I was looking up guides originally.
Maybe balances skill points. That could very well be the case, because I know there's like a bunch of balancing patches. Oops.
I thought that they essentially rebalanced the entire game.
Well, they did a lot of stuff. They did, like, when the definitive edition came out, like, they, Act 3 became a giant act now. Like, they added a bunch of content, like, essentially, like, the Persona 5 Royal thing where they just add a whole nother segment. Like, they did that because Act 3 was super short in the original, and people kind of complained about that, so they added much more. And there's a lot of balancing stuff, like revised persuasion difficulties, removed, slowed down the curve. Hold on, remove stat jump at level 13, slow down the curve by 3%. In vanilla, there was an artificial stat jump at level 13 meant to separate lower Reaper's Coast content from upper Reaper's Coast content, which is in Act 2. This jump is too noticeable for players since Reaper's Coast ended up having a very open flow. You remove the jump and analyze the other stat jumps at levels 9, 16, and 18. So I guess maybe there was a stat jump at 13 that I was supposed to get, but they slowed it down, I guess. Reduced damage bonuses. Yeah, but there was a lot of stuff that they did. They did change some extra highlights, blah, blah. Slower exponential growth. About 30% differences at max level. No stat jump around level 13. Rebalances to armor. New scale for tactician. In addition, blah, blah, blah. Some stuff here.
Yeah, then, I was almost positive they did that because the original guide I found had like a original version and then like a definitive edition version. Yeah, version of the guide. And the stat difference was like, seriously, it was like, I can't remember what the agile stat was. Was it like dexterity? It's about dexterity. had like 80 dexterity or finesse, 80 finesse versus like 40 finesse or something.
Okay. Yeah, it must have been a huge.
It was a rebound, yeah, like I thought it was a massive rebound. Well, I thought it was a rebalance and it was a cap that you can't, like before you could just pump one set, and I think they made it so that you can't pump it higher than 40 anymore.
Interesting. I should go in there because I know that you can't, which I never noticed, but you can't. There is a cap also on the skills as well. Like I was trying to, like I couldn't put any more in warfare on one of my characters, and I was like, oh, I guess there's a cap there. But you can go past that cap with gear because I was at 13, and I think it caps, at least on my one character, it caps at 10 by base points because I went to go respec them. But then I had another character for a different stat that let me go higher than 10. Like, I was able to go to, like, 11, 12, and I was like, that's interesting. But, I mean, yeah, it's like, it's fine, because as long as you, if you balance that, but you also balance, like, the whole game, then you're good. You're not just being like, oh, hey, it's a, you know, you're not as powerful, but everything else stays the same. Like, they rebalance a lot of stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, it's still just a lot of fun. Man, the game archers are just so strong. Yeah, it's funny because I rolled Sebel as the archer or as the assassin, so she had knives and archery. But I kind of switched from the daggers to archery at one point because like, oh, well, I know this fight's gonna be good for range, so I'll switch it to range. And then it just seems so OP. I was like, I'm not gonna ever use daggers anymore on this character.
I feel like a lot of the builds, as long as you do them right, were probably OP.
Yeah, I guess too, because I've
definitely watched guides, and it's like a lot of the builds, at least at max level or high level, it seemed like one person could just solo everything.
Yeah, I think too, because it's not like when I look at the base damage for Sebel versus Eifen, who is my like main melee character who uses a two-handed weapon, like they have basically the same attack stat, but where the archers have the benefit, and it's only benefit if the, because they get two benefits over the other melee classes, is because you're pumping points into Scoundrel if you're doing daggers and bows, is that Scoundrel gives you increased critical hit damage, and then Huntsman gives you increased elevation bonus. So if you're, because that's why archers, you always want to be up on the high ground, because you get that, like, at the point I'm at, I get a 55% bonus to my high ground damage. So if I'm doing 200, I get 300 damage essentially. But yeah, it's like, and then of course you're pumping stuff into finesse, so you don't need everything else. Granted, warfare still plays into your base attacks, but if you're doing your skills, you're pretty much good. But yeah, so like they do the same damage, my two-handed weapon user and my bowman, but if I have a high ground advantage, then it's like, yeah, the archer's going to do way more, typically. But yeah, it is a lot of fun. I feel like everybody can do it. I mean, if you, like I said, my two-handed guy's balance really strong to be great, do melee damage. But then because my tank, which is my main character, is a little more balanced to be able to, you know, take care of himself. Like, and he's only one-handed, he's obviously not doing as much damage. Same thing for my cleric. Like, she's not outputting a bunch of melee damage, nor am I using her for magic damage because I don't do a split damage party. But I basically just heal and CC. But yeah, it is crazy to see how much damage I put. If you just focus, like I'm assuming the same would be just like for magic. Like if you focus on just magic, like you do the same crazy numbers. But yeah, I was like, I wonder if I should reroll. Like, I kind of want to mix up my healer, maybe change my one character from, maybe make him two-handed. But because he's my tank, like I kind of want to stay one-handed with a shield, just because shields are really strong. But yeah, a lot of fun. I look forward to playing more of that, and then I'll probably wait to hop back into FF7 until you and Zaya start playing, because that would be fun, because I figured it'd be, when you play, you'll probably just play it straight up, and Zaya's using codes just to redo it, and the only thing I'm doing, because she's playing original PlayStation, is I am using the 3x speed, and I'm using the max, not max, but health regen, limit break regen in normal fights, just so I don't have to worry about random encounters. But I turn it off during the boss battles because I want to do the boss fights and all the big ones, and I know which where the all those are. So
does it disable trophies and stuff if you turn those on?
No, like because it's built into the game, just like it was for FF12. Well, not the FF12 didn't have a
the HP regen and limit break regen is built into the game. That seems like it'd be massively powerful.
Yeah, it's built into FF7. Like, let's see if I have any trophies. Oh. What trophies I have for it? Yeah, I have some trophies. Let's see.
I mean, I'll play it originally, anyways. I'm just surprised by that. That might be why I looked on a roadmap and it has like a 2 out of 10 difficulty for trophies.
Yeah, it's super easy. I mean, yeah, because I have a trophy here from the 18th, and it's like use a summon, and I had used the 3 times and the limit break stuff, and no random battle encounters, which I went back on because I needed to level up my character still. Like, even if you don't level and you have the regen, you can still die in the major fights because you can't, because the regen isn't instantaneous. It's still after the stack drops. But yeah. So the only thing it will advantage is that I get the second tier limit breaks faster than you would naturally. Which is fine, because I never really used a lot of the second tier ones. And then potentially, I wouldn't even get the next tier level ones faster, unless I'm just x3 grinding and only killing with one character to grind out their thing. But even that, you could do that naturally as well. But yeah, I'll pick it back up once you guys start playing it. Because yeah, I, after playing the remake, I definitely want to go back and replay the first one. But yeah, the trophies for the original are super easy. I mean, it's like, I'm looking at them. I still love the way they call the trophy description for the Don Corneo. Get Don Corneo to choose Cloud over the two females. Like, call them their names.
They don't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
It could be two random females. They don't want you to know that they're Aerith the Tifa movie.
Yeah, there is one you would have to focus on. One trophy, because, I mean, if you missed it, you could go back, because getting to the gold saucer, you get that pretty quick. But there is one for the gold saucer. Actually, that one might be later in the game, because you do go back to the gold saucer. But there is one trophy that you would definitely have to work for. It's more just, like, who you talk to and the order in which you talk to someone. That's it. But, yeah, all the other stuff is super easy. I mean, it's... I'm looking at them right now, like, even the only ones that could take the longest would be, like, obtain max skill and reach level 99 with one character. Like, the max skill one's easy. You basically just get gear that multiplies the AP for your materia, put on all materia, grind this one part of the map, because when you kill people, it gives you, like, a ton of AP, and you have, like, again, the triple AP gain, max out the all, sell it, done. And if you did x3 with the limit break, cheat, you can grind it out. And then, yeah, I guess the only other one that would be tough would be the ultimate limit breaks for, because you'd have to focus on Aerith in I was going to say disc one in the first bit. So you'd have to make sure to, because I kind of bumped her out of my party. I always did, especially after my first playthrough of the game, because I'm like, there's no point in having you in here. I might as well put someone else in here because I know you're gone. So it's like, there's no reason. But yeah, anyways, that'll be fun to play. But yeah, all right. Well, I guess we can just call it there and wrap it up. But all right, well, thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Izzy, for joining.
Yep.
And we will see you all next time.
Later.